This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In Japan, the largest earthquake on record there has killed hundreds of people and caused widespread damage. The quake also created a tsunami, its waves washing away boats, buildings, and roads. As NPR's Christopher Joyce reports, the tsunami continued eastward across the Pacific and has struck Hawaii and parts of the west coast of the U.S.
The tsunami rolled past Hawaii this morning, with some places reporting surges of 6 or 7 feet, according to experts at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Hours later, Crescent City, California, at the northern end of the state, got hit harder. Rich Young is harbor master at the fishing town. He and everyone else there had been evacuated early this morning, as have residents of many western seaside communities. Young says the harbor took a beating.
The entire inner boat basin here is destroyed. There are approximately 35 boats that are sunk. Boats are jumbled on top of each other, and it's just it's a hell of a mess.
Young, reporting from an emergency center near the town, says no injuries had been reported. Young says the first wave measured at about 6 feet. It didn't push water up onto land, but the huge surge of water did destroy docks and boats. It was like a 6-foot tide that normally would rise slowly over 8 hours.
In a tsunami, it happens in 15 or 20 minutes. You just get this enormously strong current. It's like Niagara Falls in a harbor.
As Young was describing the damage, he got word of yet another wave.
Cindy Henderson, the director of the Emergency Operations Center, just said that we just had an 8.1-foot wave.
Those waves started on the other side of the Pacific and took about 12 hours to cross the ocean. The amount of energy the quake released was about 30 times the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. It was a subduction zone quake where a section of the sea floor suddenly thrusts up and down. That, explains geophysicist Eric Geist of the U.S. Geological Survey, lifts the water above the seabed all the way up to the surface.
It's lifting the whole water column up above where it's not supposed to be, and then the tsunami waves spread out from there.
Japan has what scientists say is the most comprehensive tsunami warning system in the world. Engineers have stretched cables out from the land and attached instruments that measure water pressure and tides. NOAA's Pacific Tsunami Warning Center also operates its own set of warning sensors, 32 of them in the Pacific alone. Laura Fergioni is a NOAA scientist.
Within 9 minutes, our Pacific Tsunami Warning Center had a warning out for Japan, Russia, Marcus Island, and the Northern Marianas Islands. And 12 minutes later, our West Coast and Alaska Tsunami Warning Center had a message out.
But geophysicist Eric Geist says that's not a lot of time for Japanese coastal communities. The nearest city to the quake's epicenter was just about 80 miles away. Geist says there may have only been about 15 minutes of warning.
Even with a good system like that, there's just a limited amount of time you can get out of harm's way in terms of a tsunami. Some people will always be caught up in that kind of a short time frame.
As the waves traveled east toward Hawaii and North America, the warning system's pressure sensors on the seafloor monitored the tsunami's speed and predicted when the wave might hit. Once a tsunami reaches the shallows, the mass of water bunches up. There's nowhere for it to go but up. And the wave bounces off land masses, which creates a chaotic pattern of new waves.
It's very difficult to predict exactly how high the tsunami is going to be, so that uncertainty is something we're still having to live with, I think.
Another uncertainty, how many more waves are still to come? Scientists are warning coastal residents that waves could continue to arrive for hours after the first one. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.